Welcome to Season 2 of On the Inside, a deep dive into the variety of introvert experience. I'm LaToya.
And I'm Stacey. This season, we are exploring introversion across cultures.
We're excited to have you join our conversation.
Today, we welcome Audrey. Audrey describes herself as a woman in her 30s from the French Caribbean, living in England, who is a faithful Catholic and always curious about life. Thank you so much for being our guest, Audrey.
Thank you for asking me to help you out with this nice subject.
Yes, thank you for joining us. So I've got the first question. If you could sum up your experience as an introvert up to this point in your life in 5 words or less, how would you describe it?
Okay. My life as an introvert has been quite interesting because there have been periods where I wasn't solicited at all and it was so good. But there were other periods which were totally different. They were busy because every time people were coming to me. So yeah, I like having this balance. And if I have to qualify in 5 words, being an introvert up to now, yeah, I could say balanced, interesting, surprising, draining, and exhilarating as well.
Wide range of words.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit more about why you chose those 5?
Okay. So balance, I already explained. Interesting because I thought that being an introvert was something bad because they, because when you look at people, I mean, in the French Caribbean, in Martinique specifically, because I grew up in Martinique, it's not a good thing to be shy. They make you understand that you must go out and show yourself out, especially in my family, but also my family's friends. Because this is our culture basically, and actually I disagree with that, because when you're extrovert, people tend to think that you are self-assured, that you know everything, but actually to me extroverts at that time it meant that you are alcoholic and too loud. Because unfortunately, most of the time, people who were extrovert were men, and they were always shouting and they were drunk. So I really dislike this. I mean, people pushing me to absolutely speak all the time, etc. Because also in silence you speak, and it's helpful to be silent as well. I said exhilarating because in here in London, as a faithful Catholic, there are many people who think that I'm very chatty and that they know everything about me, while actually they don't know me at all. And I'm chatty because they come to me. If they don't come to me, I don't go to them. And I'm like that with most of the time. I don't go to people. It's people coming to me, because they need to speak with someone that will listen to them, that won't judge them, that will give them advice. Whether these people, I know them for long or I don't know them at all. And so that's why I always adapt myself to people. And that's why I let people come into me. But I don't go to people because I've been used of people coming to me. So, yeah. And it's quite fascinating as well to see how helpful I am with these people. But as I say also to those who have the faith, It's the Holy Spirit, it's not me, because even myself, I'm surprised by what I'm saying, because I don't know anything of their lives. And they always tell me in the end, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for being there. And I'm shocked because I'm like, but I don't know you actually, you know, even if you told me a few things about yourself, I was helped. It's not me, really. I'm just an instrument of God, that's all. What else did I say as words? I can't remember now.
I'm also trying to remember between interesting and exhilarating.
It was surprising.
Surprising, yes, thank you. Surprising because I've been speaking with people from different cultural backgrounds, different ages, men and women, in different countries, because I lived in France, in Martinique, in Canada for a while as well, and so now in London. And yeah, I mean, all these people are so different from each other, and they always confide in me. And I'm always like, but why do you do that? You don't know me. How can you trust me? But I remember asking that to a former friend at uni, and she told me that my face, my non-verbal communication told her that she can trust me. So that's why she was able to speak with me, because I remember that she told me about something very private. And then when we started our friendship, I said to her at the point, but why have you said that to me? Because it's so private. It's so, it's such a deep conversation that we had. And she told me, yeah, I just trusted in you because you look trustworthy. So I said, okay. So, yeah. And then I don't remember the word. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry too. I also didn't hold on to it. I was marveling at like the variety of words, and then I didn't remember the fifth one. LaToya, do you remember?
I don't have that fifth one.
Yeah. At the same time, I think that covered a really nice wide range of your experience, and really gives a snapshot as you have lived in so many different places and grown up in your culture and also seen other cultures and met a variety of people. It sounds like you've really kind of seen over and over how things tend to go, and been really kind of surprised, it seems like, by your own experiences, by how people tend to come to you and the experiences they tend to have with you, or you know, like the way they respond to you. I wonder if you, I've heard a lot of people, it seems, talk about almost like a energy, maybe an energy that they feel with others, or an energy that others seem to pick up in them. Like those nonverbals. I don't know if you ever feel like your energy might just be more of the listening, receiving energy rather than that kind of like putting out energy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. As is written in the Acts of the Apostles, you receive more when you give. So it's in both in both ways. And actually, it's natural, basically. So even if people tend to come to me, but also I give them out of my energy and also of my love, because as Christians, the two great commandments that we have is to love God and to love our neighbor. So that's why I do, basically, when people come to me and speak with me. So yeah. And actually, it happened again on Friday evening at my Cuban salsa class. It's because we have clubbing after the practice. And there was this guy, he already came to me a month ago telling me that before this class, because he's not regular, before this class, he didn't know. But now, thanks to this class, so 1 month ago, he knew that not only did he enjoy dancing salsa, but also my laughter and enjoyment, he told me, which was very great from him to say to me, because I didn't expect that at all, basically. And then yesterday we had the time to talk a bit. I mean, no, sorry, Friday evening we had time talking a bit more. And he told me, yeah, that he really appreciate my laughter and enjoyment, the way I exchange with my former teacher, because now I'm with the advanced, so we're not in the same group anymore, but he can see me anyway, because we are on the same floor with the other group. And when I explained to him that I'm going through a lot of difficulties because of my employer, that I'm always on sick leave because it's just madness at my company, he told me, wow, that he admires me more, because he had no idea that despite my laughter and enjoyment, I'm going through a very difficult time. And also he told me that, he added that that there should be more people like me in the world. And it's fantastic to hear that, but at the same time, it's very sad, because it means that there are not enough people out there laughing, enjoying life, one moment at a time. And yeah, just being happy, basically. So yeah.
I'm hearing this like really like wonderful mixture of your personality and your faith. And
absolutely. Yeah.
I think it sounds like people are drawn to you, and then and then you're able to provide this like safe space, and sometimes you don't even know where it's coming from, or absolutely. I mean, you know where it's coming from, but it's not coming directly from you. And there's just these like wonderful exchanges happening.
I'm also really struck by what you said about the more you give, the more you receive. And that kind of sense of the relationship between giving and receiving. And I just remembered your fifth word, draining.
Thank you.
and I think I remembered that just then, because what I think I'm also hearing, just like Latoya said, and kind of expanding on that, is it sounds to me, or at least I'm wondering, like when people are coming to you to, you know, have you kind of give your listening, to, you know, hear them so that you can give that advice. To give whatever energy it is they're drawn to in that moment that they're looking for. I wonder if you also feel a sense of receiving, and how that balances also with the maybe draining nature of of giving, in relationship.
Of course I receive from them as well, because I receive their trust and confidence and basically everything from them I receive, in the sense that when you open your heart to someone, you give everything. So that's what they do with me, actually. But also it's very reassuring to see that people trust in me, especially when you go in difficult times like I am at the moment. But also when everything is fine for you, it's always good to remember that life is basically, as we say in the Catholic faith, you have trials and happy moments. And when one trial finishes, there is another one that will start, even if you don't know when, but it will still be. And it's not because you are going through difficult times that you must be miserable, closing to others, your mind and your body and everything, basically, that you have to go into like a cave and you don't want to speak with anyone because you're feeling wrong. Because actually, when you feel low, this is my experience, of course, and this is what I believe in. When you're feeling low, you must always be in touch with people. I mean, it's better to be with people that you love and that know you, of course. But you must always be surrounded, because otherwise, if you stay by yourself, you will go lower and lower and lower, and it will be more difficult to go up and to move forward. So it's we nurture each other, basically. These people that I don't know and these people that I know, there's always they always feed me as well with their energy and with their love, basically, because even friendship is love anyway. So so they nourish me as well, and it's and actually what this Cuban salsa classmate, I can say, told me, really reassured me as well to not forget that. I mean, he reminded me that that despite my difficult times, I'm still the same, and that also despite the fact that when I go to my Cuban salsa, I go for me first, I don't go for people. Actually, I also unwillingly go and help people around me, which is amazing to see, because when you are in such a situation where your employer is telling you, you're rubbish, you know, we want you out of this company and we will do everything we can, but actually they can't because I'm protected. And actually I'm like, you know what? Actually, I've made many sacrifices for you guys. And also, I don't know if they know that I'm a faithful Catholic or not, but also it rang a bell about my faith. And I was like, I'm fed up of being like a doormat. So now I don't care about what you think, guys. I will stay until I find another job and leave you. Mm. But you won't push me out the way you want it. I will resist you until the end. And doing salsa is a way also of telling them, you know, you think that maybe I'm miserable in my room, having sick leave after sick leaves, but no, I'm enjoying myself with my friends and these unknown people at my Cuban salsa classes. So yeah, so it's a very good thing to know. And also it's draining, because when you have so many people coming to you, not every day, but most days, yeah, it's taking a lot of energy out of you, because you have to, when you listen to someone, you have to be attentive. You must also respect them, choose the right words, because they can be offended. And also, you know, sometimes they are like yesterday, I was having lunch with three other Catholic women. And one of them, she was always asking questions about my face, et cetera, et cetera. And she was quick, quick, quick. And, you know, I wanted to say to her, okay, calm down, you know, let me time to think and answer you. But my other friend was able to answer her back as well. And I was as well. So sometimes, yeah, people don't see that, actually don't know either, that I'm actually quite solicited by people around me. And that it's very draining. But that's why also I like Sundays, because it's the Lord's Day. And so I can say to people, yeah, I stay at home. It's Lord's Day, so I must spend time with him. And I spend time with him in my room alone. Mm-hmm. So I can take somewhere else with him, because he's the one who feeds me. He's the one who gives me energy. So, yeah.
Mm.
So also to have this balance between my own relationship with God and my relationship with people, but the first one is of course with the Lord, because he's the one, because people in the Catholic Church tell me that I have the gift of joy, and I'm like, yes, but it's from the Lord, you know. And I love that, because also I spend some time in silence with him. I'm not always out as people you might think. No, I like having my own time in my room without speaking with anyone.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like what you were saying, the silence speaks.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, because we are in a society that is against silence. People don't like silence. And it's a shame, because actually silence is quite reassuring. And silence helps you to be focused on yourself. I mean, of course, it depends in which state of your life you are in. It depends if you are feeling good or bad. I mean, it depends, of course. But when you are in silence, it helps you to sleep better. It helps you also to think about what happened during this week, and maybe, oh, I should have done this or done that. Oh, this time was so nice. This other time, I loved it as well. And as a Catholic, it's just helping me just to speak with the Lord and saying to him what I feel. And he responds to me in silence always. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sounds like the silence balances out all of the noise that just comes naturally with life. Mm. And you just have like this own, your own balance of recognizing like that you need to kind of insert that into your kind of day to day.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Well, you mentioned a bit about your experience growing up, but could you share more about what it was like growing up introverted in your own family?
In my own family, it was okay. It was fantastic, actually, because they respected that. But when people came to see my family, I mean, when I say family, for me, it's in the sense of the large family, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nieces and nephews. And in the French Caribbean, we have big families. And also, so when I was just with my family, so basically with my great parents, my uncle and my aunts and my cousins, it was okay. They respected my personality, because actually I remember once that one of my older cousins said, I mean, they were sharing childhood moments, and they were saying, and one of my cousins said, "Where was Audrey?" And she answered back, "Oh, she was reading a book." She was reading a book somewhere in the house. And it was true. I was always by myself reading, because I love reading. And so they've always respected me. And, you know, I was going to them if I needed to say something to them, and they were coming to me. So it was well balanced. It was okay. But when we had people that I didn't know that was coming from my family or just family friends, it was more difficult, because some people were looking at me and they wanted to speak with me, but I didn't want to, because I didn't know them, and I didn't trust them because I didn't know who they were. That's all. And as a child, I think it was good for me to just protect myself, basically. But then I remember once that we went to one of my mom's friends' house, and there was this man who wanted to talk with me. And my mom said, "Oh, you know, you can just talk to her and she will talk back to you." Because I was, when I don't know where I go and that I don't know anyone, I sit somewhere where nobody can come to me. I'm really like, I try like to hide a bit from people. Mm-hmm. And so when they come to me, but you know that I feel that I can trust them because they have good vibes. Okay. But if I feel that I feel uncomfortable, no, I don't force myself. So that's how I was when I was a child. And when I was going to Guadeloupe to see my father and his family, it was difficult because my dad was always showing me off, saying, "Oh, look at my daughter. She lives in Martinique and she speaks English, Spanish and Italian." And I was like in my head, "Stop it. Leave me alone. I'm not your trophy. And also, it's not because of you that I speak all these languages. It's thanks to my mom who lives in Martinique. So stop it." So it was very, very difficult. But people over there were really nice with me as well. They didn't try to push me. But I was speaking more with my cousins that I consider more as my older sisters, because most of them are older than me. And they were really protective with me and my aunts as well. But yeah, but I didn't like it when my dad was like exposing me like a trophy. I really hated that. But otherwise, it was fine, because most of the time in Guadeloupe, I was with my family, so people that I know. So it was fine. I know that when I was going to nightclubs when I was an adolescent, men always tend to give me their phone number or asking me mine. And I was always like, "No, I don't want to. I'm just dancing with you. That's all. I don't want more." So it was also a bit difficult to find the right balance, because they always wanted to go out with me because I knew it was just for sex, not something serious, and I wasn't into this culture, this hookup culture. So when I was growing up, etc., I remember that I was so eager to leave Martinique for going to uni in mainland France, in Europe, because I was always going out with my mom to see her friends, and I was a bit fed up of that because I like having my own moments, being at home in my room, speaking to nobody, doing nothing. So yeah.
So, you know, your family generally respected it, but you did recognize kind of this piece of like, maybe this the way like they go about their day to day was not always a match.
So you've
kind of created those spaces for yourself as an adult, yeah, and being able to be on your own.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. As a child, I was able to as well, but it depends. Sometimes there were periods where we were going out a lot, and sometimes there were periods where we weren't going out at all. And so I cherished this period when we weren't going out at all. So, yeah. So I got this balance as well. I had to, because otherwise it would have been very difficult, especially because as I'm the eldest of three daughters with a single mom. So, it was because my mom, unfortunately, was going out a lot sometimes, and with us and without us. But I better like without us, but without... When she was going out and I was looking after my sisters, I had also to keep an eye on my sisters. So it was quite well balanced as well. But at least I was home, and it's a safe space to be home anyway. So instead of being out, except of course, if I go to my grandparents or my aunts, it was okay because this is also my space, it's fine. But when I'm going at family friends or even the family, the larger family, it's not my space, so I don't really like it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if there was anyone else, or can you think of anyone else in your whole extended family that kind of seems similar to you in that way, maybe more introverted or kind of liking something a bit more quiet or balanced, or did you feel like you were sort of the one in your family?
No, I think that there were two aunts actually that they were quite balanced as well. They didn't like speaking all the time as well. And I think one of my little cousins, I mean, now she's grown up, she must be maybe 24, something like that. Yes, she's quite like that as well. So yeah.
Did you ever feel more drawn to those people who had kind of a quieter demeanor, or did you find that, you know, everyone was just kind of however they were and that was fine?
No, I would like quieter demeanor. Yeah, because people who are, for me, a bit too extrovert or too much, as we say, with some of my Catholic friends, because some of them are married, some not, and they are like famous guys that are either married or not, and there are two of them, and I'm like, yeah, they're too much, I can't. So yeah, no, I couldn't be with the guy that is too much. So basically, that has, you know, it's true extrovert. No, it's so draining. So yeah, no, I can't. I really can't.
So how would you describe kind of some of the similarities and differences in what it's been like to be an introvert in kind of all the different cultures and the countries that you've lived in?
I remember that when I was living in Canada, but I was in Quebec, so former French colony. I was working in a luxury hotel, and I was very, very introvert, very shy. Because I was admiring the professionals I was working with. And I was working with three fantastic women, especially the director of because I was working in events, and the director of events and banquets, she was amazing because she's Italian, and she told me her life. So that's why I was like, why do you say that to me? It's wow. And she thought actually that so at the end of my internship, because it was an internship, she said that that she thought to the head of the department, so of the sales and marketing department, she reproached her, my, she said to her that she didn't like my attitude because I wasn't speaking at all. And I wanted to say, yeah, but she never came to me. And as a leader, normally you should go to people. And she could have tried to understand why I was behaving this way. I wasn't behaving this way because I was fearful of her. I was behaving with her this way because I didn't know how to approach her. Because she was so admirable, she was so powerful. She was such a good example for me of an immigrant that had success in a foreign country. So, and also I was struggling with my own professional life because I came to Canada at that time to have a better life, because my life in Martinique was miserable, being always unemployed. And all of a sudden, I'm in this big city, Montreal. It's a different culture, even if they speak French. I mean, they say they speak French, but they don't really speak French anyway. It was a cultural shock. It was a shock in every sense of the word. So to get used to this new environment, being away again from my family, etc., my culture, was a bit difficult. And I was struggling in finding my own professional career. I didn't know what to do with my life. So there was all of this in me. And the fact that she accused me of not being outside, being out, and asking her question. And I was like, yeah, but she could have come to me. Why should I have been to her and not coming to me? And I think because I've been so used of people coming to me that I didn't know how to approach her. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting for me, but I don't regret it anyway because I didn't like Montreal, so it was okay. But yeah, I didn't understand her because she was speaking about her life, always approaching me, etc. She saw how I was, but I don't know why she wasn't able to come to me and ask me, unlike one of her colleagues who was amazing that I really love, because she came to me and told me, okay, Audrey, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And I was able to speak then. So the fact that my being an introvert was ill perceived, I really didn't like that, because you should come to that person and ask questions instead of judging and say, I didn't like her because she wasn't coming to me. She wasn't asking questions. Not that I didn't have questions, but I didn't know how to say it. That's all. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting to have this this perspective from her. But otherwise, where everywhere else, always people were coming to me, so I didn't have any issues. But when I was living in Paris, the last year before coming back to Martinique, I was 23, I was always going to foreigners. Because in Paris, even if I'm originally from Paris, because I was born in a city near Paris and I lived there for 11 years. When I'm in Paris, I don't feel Parisian at all, because Parisians are weird anyway, with everyone except themselves. And I was always going to foreigners because I like practicing my English and my Spanish. And so it was easy for me, yeah, to go to foreigners, but also easy for them to come to me because they saw this energy, they feel this energy. So it was easy. But even if I had some Parisian friends, it was very hard to speak with them because they were weird, basically. So it was quite interesting in Paris having this experience. Because I also lived in a small city near, that is 1 hour away from Germany, and it was okay living there as well. It was so good, but it's a uni city, as they say, in France. So it was okay going there because two of my best friends actually come from this small city because they were really open and really nice. Really, they were really caring because they knew that I'm French, but I'm from the French Caribbean, so it's totally different. Different culture, different environment, not having my family around, etc. So London, it's quite interesting because in London I've always been surrounded with people, but I feel more comfortable with my Catholic community because as we share the same faith, it's easier to speak. I can really speak with them entirely, while with people that don't have my faith, it's not the same. They can't understand everything. Like at my Cuban salsa classes, we were speaking about guys, black guys who were dancing, and of course they dance amazingly. And there was this English guy that was saying, yeah, but they have this natural input, you know, they have dancing in their blood, so it's easier for them to dance. And I said, actually, no, you know, my boyfriend, he's white and he dances pretty well as well, you know, so it's not a question of blood or skin color. I don't know where it's from, but it's not true. And now, you know, they are pushing me to have my boyfriend by myself dancing with me. But I said to them, you know, he's a beginner. I mean, he hasn't started yet, but he doesn't know anything about salsa. And this guy said to me, yeah, but you should show him some steps. I said, I can't, we don't live together. And he said, oh, okay. And another classmate, she's French, and she said, oh yeah, I hope that next time you bring your lover with you. And I'm like, yeah, but leave us alone. You don't know how we manage our relationship. And also, it's not because we're together, because many people think that nowadays, because you are in love with someone, you live with that person. No. As I said, if I live with my boyfriend, it's because he's my husband first, because we went to a Roman Catholic church and we got married there. So also people to understand that, yeah, you know, not everyone is living the same way as everyone is doing. So as well, sometimes it's a bit difficult to understand that, but also, yeah, just the way, just because now I said I have a boyfriend, oh, you absolutely must dance salsa. But actually I'm quite lucky because he likes dancing, he's open, so yeah, he would like to dance salsa one day. But it's not everyone. You have people who are with partners that don't like dancing, and you can't force them anyway. So yeah, that's the thing I'm a bit strongly with sometimes, because I'm an introvert as well, and I want to say to them, but you know, this is none of your business. He will come one day, you will see him, maybe not, I don't know, we will say. But I mean, yeah.
Sounds like it's hard to have people sort of act like there's a certain way things should go, and for you absolutely. To then yeah. be in the position of explaining how you don't want them that way.
And I feel like I kind of threw out kind of all these places that you lived, like, you know, where you grew up, there was kind of the consistent invitation into kind of conversation, and now you've kind of experienced other places and other people outside of like family, where that's not always the case. And they have their own kind of thoughts about how an interaction should go. And you're like, well, there was no invitation. So why are you expecting all of these things from me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially at my Cuban salsa classes. Yeah, definitely. But otherwise in here, no, it's fine, actually. Because people know, I mean, some people that I'm close to, they know how I am, so they know that they shouldn't try to push me to do things against my will. And there are some others when they do try, either I just step back and I don't speak with them for a while, or I just stop speaking with them. Because, I mean, I always respect people's boundaries, and people tend to think that because I'm friendly, because I'm smiley, because I can speak, that I'm like a chat box, as they're saying here, that it means that they are allowed to do everything with me. No, you should have respect as well. It's not because you are that nice, that kind, that it means that you have to consider me as a doormat. It doesn't, they shouldn't, you know, mix everything up, basically. So, yeah.
But that energy from you is not an invitation for them to just feel like they can do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
You have that joy of life you were talking about, and also very important boundaries for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, because otherwise they're eating you up. And I fortunately also experienced that when I was at uni so I was going to live in Paris, and I remember so meeting this girl in the uni city. So it's called Nancy, the city in northeastern France. And there was a voice in my heart telling me, don't go to her. She's not a good person. But I thought that it was me judging her. So I said, no, it's not good to judge someone this way. And so she was nice. She was kind. She was older than me, from Guadeloupe. So we got that common Guadeloupean heritage. So it was okay. But then, unfortunately, she was trusting a lot too much in me, because she, in the end, considered me as a shrink, as also like her mother. Because when I was doing things on my own, she wasn't happy about that. She wanted me to think of her before taking my decisions. And I was like, but she's not my child. She's older than me. What is that? I don't get it. And she was eating me up, really, because all the time we were speaking over the phone, after our conversation, I was feeling so low. I was having very negative thoughts, and I didn't understand why. And then I understood that actually this voice wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit warning me against her. And it lasted for 2 years. And as my dad told me, she was like a vampire. She was really taking my energy out and everything. And so I was just 21, I think. And from that day onwards, I said to myself, okay, no more of that. I put boundaries. And if you don't respect that, you go away. I give you another chance. If you take that chance, I don't give you another one.
Yeah. Boundaries are so important. Because otherwise you do, you know, get totally consumed and there's nothing left
absolutely.
For you or anybody else.
And you're destroyed, and actually it's not good. And that's why also I like having my Sundays. I'm the one calling people, so it's fine. But yeah, I don't like when people call me because I'm like, no, leave me alone. So yeah, but I choose my moments. I like having some power controlling what I'm doing, especially on Sundays, because Sundays for me, it's so good to be by myself, etc. And actually this French lady at the Cuban salsa class told me, but will you see each other this weekend? And I said, no, actually we won't, because I have my plans. But also, I don't want to see him this weekend. I better like seeing him next week, because I want to. And for other reasons that you don't need to know. Come on. You know, I was like, why all these questions about my boyfriend? Leave us alone, please. So, yeah.
Like the invasiveness that some people have.
Absolutely. Thank you. Invasiveness. Absolutely. Yeah.
And wanting to place their own kind of idea of what something should look like. It's a little crazy making.
One thing you shared is how it sounds like you've noticed that in London you are really close to a lot of people in the Catholic community, and it sounds like I thought maybe I heard almost a parallel of like how much easier it is to connect with people when you know them really well and you sort of have that closeness already. maybe it feels different to connect to people in that situation than in other situations like you've described. And I was wondering if you could share more about what it's been like to be introverted in the Catholic community where you are.
It was very difficult when I came here because I was living in South London, but very far from Central London. So already going to Central London was very difficult and very frustrating for me because London is an expensive city to live in. And so it was already, yeah, it was a bit depressing for me, but I was having this energy revived all the time when I was going to mass every Sunday. So I wanted people to come to me in the Catholic church, at that first Catholic church I was going to, but I think it's also very hard for people to come to you. Because fortunately, English people are so weird as well, because they don't come to you that easily, and you're like, yeah, but I'm here, look at me, etc. Say to me hello, it would be fine. But anyway, and then there was this changing moment when this woman from Nigeria came to me and she introduced herself and she told me, you know, we have this group. If you want to come, you can. And she was having her big smile and a love for me, etc. It was powerful and helped me a lot to feel much better, to feel more integrated in the Catholic community. And then I was able to know and meet other people, of course, of this Catholic Church. And then when I moved to other places in London, they were always there. So for me, it's like my first Catholic family, basically. I love going and seeing them when I can, because I'm so busy. And also the priest that is over there, he's a very nice priest that I really love because I can share everything with him. And then when I moved in different parts of London for different reasons, it was also good to go there to discover other Catholics, etc. And I really loved it. And the striking point that changed everything was when I decided to do this Bible Timeline course. And that's how also I got to know my boyfriend, etc. So then it was easier because, of course, you can't get along with everyone, even if they're Catholics, of course. So there were some people that tried to be close to me, but actually I didn't feel that much at ease. So I decided to put them a bit away. But when I see them, of course, I speak with them and I exchange. But there are some others that I call regularly or that they call me. And we have this strong bond because we don't know anyway. But I feel comfortable with them. So it's much easier now. And especially with the lockdowns, when there were the lockdowns, because I was going to so many different groups before the lockdowns, and then after when the first lockdown came, it was very good because I didn't have to go anymore to different sites. It was all online, so it was like I was feeling really my safe space, and not having to speak with people that I don't know or that I don't really appreciate. So I really enjoy that. Now I'm getting back little by little to a few Catholic groups in person, and I tend to speak more with the people that I already know, because it's reassuring, it's comfortable, and also I know that they won't judge me, that they won't have this how did you say you know, that they're trying to push you this
like they're invasive.
Invasive, yeah, thank you. So they're not invasive, so yeah.
It sounds like having that, you describe the community there kind of in a sense of like a place to go, but then also a place where you found your family. You kind of within the Catholic community, you found a smaller community, maybe like
yes, absolutely.
That kind of family that really feels like yours, and has become kind of that that home. So it sounds like it's been a really important source for those yes. deeper connections.
Absolutely, because actually this first Catholic community that I consider as my family, I'm one of the youngest. So that's why I consider them, I mean, this lady that came to me, I consider her like my mom, and the others like uncles and aunts, and also it's that most of them are Africans, so they are Black and I'm Black, so even if I'm French Caribbean, as when we are together, Black people, we feel more at ease because we understand each other, even if we come, because we are all, I mean, I have ancestors from Africa, so that's why we are so much in common, but also our Catholic faith, of course. But yeah, and also there are a couple of Indians, and I mean, I have Indian ancestors as well. So that's why also I feel like family, but the advantage that they are Catholics. And so we can speak about everything and they will understand me. I don't have to explain or, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also we've been praying together, whether at church or outside of church, I mean, online. And it was very helpful and powerful to do so. I did also that with other groups. But the fact that, yeah, we have the same cultural background is very helpful as well, to feel like really much more like home. So, yeah.
Love that, like there's both the cultural piece, but then also the faith that really makes this like really strong connection.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, even if my family, I have my favorite cousin, actually, she's half Black, half white, but she looks white actually. But on her face, you can see that she's mixed race, and I really love her, but. I will, of course I can, because when I was living in Nancy, we were just maybe two or three Black people, but I wasn't feeling, you know, outcasted, nothing at all like that. But when you are with people that are from the same cultural background, because I mean, as a Creole person, I'm a mix of different cultures. So it's always good to see people who are like closer to you. And of course, I grew up with white people, with Muslims from different parts of the world. But yeah, I will always feel more comfortable with Black people because I'm Black, and they can understand also what we've been going through because of racism, of course, unfortunately, sometime. So yeah, and even here in when I was before the lockdown, as I was working as a temp receptionist, when I saw Black people, we are always smiling at each other because it's always good to see another Black people in the same place and at the office. And I know I thought it's stupid, but it's so reassuring to always see someone that looks like you, especially when you're away from home. Yeah. If I was home, it wouldn't have that much impact on me. But because I'm on my own in this big country, so yeah, it does have an impact.
It makes sense. I think, you know, when you're in a position where you're surrounded by people that look like you all the time, it's not a thing. And then when you're now all of a sudden not in that situation and you see someone that looks like you, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the themes too that I feel like, you know, we've talked about today is how important and impactful it is to have a safe space that sort of invites you to trust and to share. And it sounds like, you know, whereas others may not, I mean, I think safe space is important for everyone. And you've noted that you seem to create maybe that energy. People sort of perceive a safe space in talking to you. But for you, I think, you know, you've talked about how it really makes a difference in terms of your comfort level, your ability to share and talk and be at ease and communicate when there is that safe space, that common understanding and familiarity, you know, that maybe that's pretty vital to being able to share more deeply of yourself, to feel more deeply connected and to just have those spaces where you can really be yourself.
Absolutely.
So like maybe that's key to you being able to feel that.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because, as I said, I'm always solicited by people, even if I think that I don't do anything. So for me, yeah, having a safe space is crucial, because otherwise, and as you said, it's important that everyone has a safe space. And that's why maybe I think that some people are coming to me, because they feel like they don't have this space. They don't have this, they haven't found someone that can really help them out, that can really just listening to them and being there. Because when I see people around me now in this new millennium, especially with the smartphones, I always see people with smartphones around me, and I'm like, don't ask yourself why people are so lonely now while they feel so misunderstood. It's because people are always on their mobile phones. And also last Sunday, I was with a friend of mine. He lives in North England, and he's from Martinique. And actually, we know each other for 20 years. And you know, I was laughing out loud at Paul. So it's a bakery, etc. Very good. We were near the river, and I was laughing out loud. And there was this couple, and I knew actually that they weren't happy seeing me laughing that much. But it wasn't a couple to us, because there was no love. It was so cold. And I was like, and we were like, but why are they married to each other? And I said to my friend, I think just because of image, reputation, and it's easy also to live with someone, you know, because financially speaking, it's more stable and reassuring. But, and I'm like, yeah, but anyway, they don't have life. And it's surreal to say they don't have life while they're alive. But this is where we're going to. We're going into a society that is too selfish to look at each other in the eye and saying, you know, I listen to you, I consider you, I hear you, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why for me it's important to have my safe space with God, because he's our creator, whether people believe it or not. But the thing is also, all this love that I receive from him, all this this mercy as well, is from him. And for me, and that's the thing that also some people don't understand, but I don't care. For me, it's more important how the way, the look of God on me than people looks on me. It's more what God says to me, his opinion about me, that counts for me, that what people say. Because unfortunately, many people, they can destroy you with their words.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I've always have to create my own, my safe space with God, and then with people of the Catholic community, because yeah, they understand me. And if I'm struggling spiritually speaking, they understand me, and I have good friends that give me good advice. And they help me going through my life as well. So yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I've got the last question if we're ready.
Okay.
So what's one thing you wish society understood about introverts?
Being an introvert is more powerful than people think it is, actually, because when you're introvert, so you listen to people, you are attentive to them, and it shows them, as I said, that they are seen and listened to, and that we believe in them. Because in this society nowadays, and as I work for social media, we always push to say everything about our life, and I totally disagree with that. We must have a secret garden that we keep to ourselves. Maybe we can share it with a few people that we really trust in, but we should keep something for ourselves. And that's why I like being an introvert, because the fact that I have some things that there are many events that people don't know I've been through. And I like this idea that nobody knows, because it protects me. And also, it's just a way of, for me also, to protect these people that trusting in me. And also, it's just, and also when you're introvert, because basically you listen to people, you're more able to help people and to be really there for them. While when you speak with people that are extroverts, that, as I say, too much, they say you things that actually hurt you. And you're like, you sure that you listen to me? No, actually, they listened to me, but they didn't tell me what I needed. They told me what they need. They think it's good for me. But actually, they see themselves through me instead of seeing me. Mm-hmm. And that's also a problem in our society, because people project a lot on others what they would like people to do for them. Say it instead of you know, advising people with what you want them to say to you. So, yeah. And also to be more respectful of introverts, because I felt that sometimes when you introvert, that you're an idiot just because you don't speak. And it doesn't mean, it's not because you don't speak that you're not intelligent, that you're not, that you don't think, that you don't analyze. So it doesn't mean anything being a, I mean, it's not a wrong thing being an introvert. And just also getting to know us, that's all. Getting to know us without judging us. Just taking time, because also, unfortunately, we are in a society where people are really fast. They want everything now instead of waiting, because human relationship can't be built in one day. It takes time. So just to let time and do its work, and also being respectful of people's differences, and also to understand that differences make us stronger, because otherwise, if we were all the same, it would be so boring. I mean, this is what I think. So, yeah. But especially with young people, yeah, to really just listen to them and not being judgmental with them. But also telling them, first of all, give me your mobile phone. But I think maybe also to adults, give me your mobile phone and then we talk. Oh, yeah. Because also distractions are not good. And that's why also there are so many people that are lost, because they don't want to try to know themselves. So they can't know each, they can't know others. Hmm. That's why we can't help each other. If you don't know yourself, how can you help others? And so that's why I was saying also that silence is loud, is useful, because you can learn so much from silence. I mean, of course, a balanced silence, not like all the time being in silence by yourself, etc. It's not good either. But also to find the right balance between being with people and being alone. We have to be alone, but it's good to be alone. And especially also for young people, because I see that a lot. They don't try to get bored, because they don't want to be bored. But it's good to be bored, because that's how you are creative. And I remember when I was a child, and that's why I think I didn't like being with my cousins, because when I was by myself, I was imagining so many different things, and it was so lovely to have my own world.
Yeah.
To create your own worlds. And also they say that when you are quite bored, you are quite creative when you get old. And it's true, actually, because sometimes I'm like, why do I have all these ideas coming out of my mind? So it's amazing also to create your own world. And so, yeah, just that. Just to being able to be a human being, not a machine, or not the extension of your mobile phone, of your laptop, or also even forcing yourself into doing sports that you don't like, maybe. Yeah, just to learn how to live. That's all I would say. Yeah.
There's so many beautiful things in that. I love that wrap up. I think one of my biggest takeaways that I'll be remembering this week is introverts are more powerful than people think they are. And that kind of power, that particular power that is introverted, I think you've summed it up in so many different ways. And I think it's really valuable. And I love that we're talking more about it.
I agree. There's a lot of, I think, wonderful things that I feel like have come out of this conversation. One thing that's really sticking out for me, I think, has come up in some of our other conversations and our other interviews. And it's really that idea of treat others the way they want to be treated. Absolutely. And, you know, and I think you had that in your immediate family, and and that foundation has been something that's really carried you through your life, both in how you approach others, but in how you kind of understand what boundaries to set in your relationships, and how and the expectations you put on others on how they should be treating you.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah, that's so true.
Well, thank you so, so much for having this conversation with us and for everything that you shared. I just really appreciate the opportunity. I love, you know, kind of exploring all these themes and hearing about your experiences, and I learned a lot, and just thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure. I hope it will help people. Yeah.
I think sharing things, people realize that they're not alone, and absolutely, it enriches all of us to, you know, understand more about the variety of experiences people have. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to On the Inside.
Before we go, show some love for your favorite introvert podcast by following us and leaving us a comment on Facebook or Instagram, which you can find through the link in our show notes.
And remember that even when the world doesn't seem made for you, you were made for the world.